Doctor, I want one.
You can join a group of over 100 people that have already ordered vehicles with deposits.
The initial cars, though, the first ones out, are going to be how much?
They're going to be expensive because they're, you know, hand-built. They're roughly $1 million a piece.
Oh, that's really out of my range.
That's out of most people's ranges. But that'll come down very quickly. The second 100 is down to $250,000. And by the time we're producing a few thousand units, we're down below 100,000 in automotive levels. Predictions are that the vehicle will be cost about the same as a modest automobile. There's nothing in it.
You're kidding. I mean,
there's nothing in it that's expensive. I mean, the key element in any vehicle's cost is the power plant. And we have purposely, you know, made an effort to develop a very low-cost power plant.
All right, well, okay, an obvious question is this. To fly this, I mean, after all, it's some pretty tricky stuff, vertically landing and taking off and then going 300 and some odd miles per hour. You would have to have a pilot's license, yes?
Depends on what time frame you're talking about. Immediately, absolutely, and it's a new license by the FAA called a powered lift pilot's license.
Power lift?
Powered lift. But in the future, you will not be a pilot, you will be a passenger. The vehicle will code in where you want to go and it'll take you there. There's no, one thing you really don't want to do is have a bunch of people deciding where they wanted to go with their own mind in the air.
Would there be the ability of the individual to take manual control?
Not in the ultimate system. What you really have is enough electronic and hardware redundancy, including built-in parachutes. We have two built-in parachutes. We have every conceivable thing you can imagine to make it safe for you as an individual.
Let me stop you there. Parachutes, you mean for the people?
No, for the vehicle.
The vehicle itself. Now, that's something I've been hearing about. Even light planes, they're now putting parachutes in.
There is one light plane that's being certified right now by the FAA that carries a parachute, and I think it's kind of amusing because it turns out that they've got an enormous backlog, and apparently it's wives that now let their husbands buy airplane because it's got the parachute. It makes it a lot more.
Why didn't somebody, doctor, do that a long time ago? I mean, it makes so much sense. A light planes you hear about crashing all the time.
I agree. It makes a lot of sense, but the aircraft industry is kind of unique. It's a lot of people out there are purists. They really believe in the macho thing that, you know, they're not going to get in trouble.
Oh, please.
But
nobody's that pure.
But the wives don't believe that. So that's why this adding of a parachute has ended up making a very viable product.
I'm not that macho. I mean, I
No, I'm the same way. If I had a choice to buy an airplane with a parachute or one without, I would certainly choose the parachute.
You bet. So there would be two parachutes in the sky car.
Correct. There's a low-speed one and there's a high-speed one because it depends. They're both going to be deployed, but they're deployed at different times depending on the state that it was operating in.
So then, really, when this was fully developed years down line, there would be sky lanes, and that's why there would be automatic control because you couldn't trust people any more than you trust them out on the interstate now.
Even though, of course, because you're going very fast, and you can imagine what a drunk driver might do up in that kind of environment. We've always joked that really, in the future, you may end up, a drunk driver may end up in the wrong city, but he's going to arrive safely, because he's just going to be taken there on his own accord.
So, let's say I got in here in Pahrump, Nevada, and wanted to go to Las Vegas, which is 65 miles to the east of me. I would just say, I would just punch Las Vegas or the coordinates for Las Vegas, and there would be some coordination that would take place by computer, and it would go?
Right, because the vehicle itself is really a flying computer right now. That's why it's so easy to fly. I have a 93-year-old mother-in-law, and I quite frankly would not believe that she'd have difficulty flying that machine. Of course, there's a bunch of other things I'd be concerned with. It's other people right now in the sky, but the vehicle itself, if you went up in the air with it and you decided to have your lunch, it would stay right where you put it.
Would the vehicle be capable of hovering, that is to say, at altitude, not just simply above the ground?
Up to a certain altitude. Its maximum hovering altitude right now is about 7,500 feet.
Well, that's pretty high.
It's pretty high, and then above that you have to have some forward velocity.
This is incredible. just absolutely incredible. What's it like, since you've been up so many times in the two-passenger version, what's it like?
Well, it really is. I mean, I of course, people think I'm exaggerating or the effects, but it's truly a magic carpet experience, because when you're in a when you're in a helicopter, you feel like you're being lifted up by a crane, and that's pretty impressive, but it's quite different from sitting in something that, that lifts you up from your seat. And that's a the experience I had was truly a magic carpet. And there's been one other person who's flown it, a chief test pilot for New Zealand Air, who's one of our directors, who described it exactly the same way. He's got 25,000 hours in commercial planes like the DC-10, and he said it's truly a magic carpet sensation.
Ah. Where do you test these?
We do it right at our plant. We have about a 4.5-acre industrial research site in which we have our facility, and we have a huge crane out back that goes 100 and some feet in the air. So much of the testing during the early phases, when you're debugging it, so to speak, you have it attached to the crane, and then you detach it when you're ready to demonstrate it.
How high have you flown the two-seater?
I've never gone much higher than about 100 feet, because I'm not really interested I am interested, of course, ultimately in the high-speed forward flight. But the historically difficult thing that's got people into trouble when they tried to develop vehicles like this is during the hover mode. So we've concentrated on that, knowing that the forward flight aerodynamics is fairly conventional.
Well, pilots require very special training for the Harrier jump jet, don't they?
Oh yeah, that's a fairly complicated vehicle, even though it operates in a very similar way to ours. It takes a lot of skill. This does not. We have far more onboard computers than they do.
It uses, now let me see if I can understand. It uses nozzles that go from the vertical to the horizontal plane.
That's what the Hawker Harrier does. We have a patented deflection system. We have these four ducts, horizontal ducts,
right,
you could think of as like four small helicopter fans blowing the air backwards, and then we have a system a roll top desk, a series of vanes like a roll top desk.
So in other words, it either deflects the air in a down
vertical, right,
and then slowly moves it. I've got you.
Exactly. At the same time, there's an onboard computer that's independent of the human that is making sure that the power of the engines is adjusted at the same time to make sure the vehicle is always leveled, precisely where you put it. So the computer controls the power to the engines to make sure the vehicle stays in exactly where you want it, and then the vanes decide whether you want to hover or go forward.
Okay, well, here's one important question. I have a lot of computers. I have Windows 95. No insult intended there up in Washington, Mr. Gates, but my Windows 95 crashes every now and then.
Yes. Yeah, no, software is always an issue, and that's why we have what's called a voting redundant system. We have four digital computers, and we have voting involved, which decides if one of these have crashed, and we kick it out of the system. And, of course, you are also warned that one of your computers has crashed, and so you have a warning to decide to continue the flight or get down.
But
you're right, redundancy is important because it's certainly initially, even though we don't have near the amount of code that Windows 95 has, we still have to be concerned.
Yes, of course. Would you be concerned about EMP pulses, being near thunderstorms, that kind of thing? How would it do you suppose, in turbulent conditions?
Well, that we know a lot about because, of course, we've had thousands of hours of wind tunnel testing of models. We know a lot about how it behaves. And, of course, we have built a number of vehicles for the military, unmanned versions of this, so we know a lot about how they behave.
Unmanned versions, I presume, for reconnaissance?
Right, amongst other things. We built one for bridge inspection for the state of California and other vehicles for various military applications, some of which maybe they don't want me to talk about.
Okay.
Any vehicle, I mean, it's a perfect observation platform because it can go up and hover at, 300-400 feet or 3,000-4,000 feet. And then return a very short period of time.
God, I want one. what does it take to get a ride in one? Do any civilians ever get to ride?
No, that's limited by the FAA. We have to complete a fairly extensive test flight program before we're allowed to carry people along with it. we'll be through that sometime next year.
And people should understand how close we're getting to all of this. When do you think the first four-passenger vehicle might roll off the assembly line?
Well, it won't really be an assembly line initially. It'll be sort of a hand-built vehicle. And that'll be this coming year, the year 2000. We will be providing vehicles for paramilitary and some other applications. For the civilian market, certification is really required, although you can always buy one of these if you have a huge ranch someplace. But if you really want a fully certified vehicle, they'll have to wait till the year 2002.
Well, that's not that long. What do you envision the civilian version to be like inside? I can envision the inside of an automobile. I have a couple. What will the inside of this vehicle be like?
Well, it'll be almost precisely like your automobile. The only difference will be that you'll have two levers, one on your left that controls the rate of climb and the altitude, and you preset that. You decide whatever rate of climb you want to go at, and you decide what altitude you want to go to. Then you leave that alone, and then your only other control is in your right hand. You twist it for direction, you move it forward for speed, you move it back for braking, and that's the only control. You have the one lever, and you can forget everything else. Of course, eventually that disappears too, and the computer takes control of everything. But
now you're saying you'd move it in one direction forward, and then the other direction for braking?
Well, backwards would be braking in the air. It'd bring you to a stop. Or on the ground, it would brake just like an automobile would brake. And you turn it, you grip it and turn it for steering like an automobile, or in the air, you use it for turning as well.
All right. Another question. I've got a million. Could it be navigated on the ground? In other words, could you propel it around a little bit and steer it on the ground? Would that be possible?
Well, yeah. It's got disc brakes and wheels. It's comfortable in that role. It doesn't have large wheels, so you wouldn't be going through, you know, rough roads or potholes or things like this. Well, you could, but it would not be very comfortable. But on the pavement, it'll be just as good as your automobile, although you wouldn't use it for long.
No, of course not. But you could sort of taxi around and go to the spot where you wanted to take off and take off there.
Exactly how it would be used.
Wow. How are you able to? I guess I don't understand how you can get the kind of mileage you're talking about.
Well, aircraft, you know, good aircraft, and when I use that term, I'm probably talking about home-built aircraft, which are, you know, if you're familiar with that field, are pretty state-of-the-art. Some of these home-built four-passenger aircraft are getting 20-plus miles to the gallon, flying at, you know, close to 300 miles an hour. Pretty impressive what they're doing out there. And so this, when it's flying as an aircraft, is competitive with existing really good composite airplanes. It, of course, burns a lot of fuel when it's hovering, so you don't spend a lot of time
hovering.
No, it's like the hummingbird. We liken it to the hummingbird. The hummingbird is a very high metabolism, high-energy creature.
Yeah, they're going a million miles an hour to stay in place.
That's right, exactly, and we do the same thing. I mean, those fans are moving fast, and the engines are putting out a lot of power during a hover mode. But you only spend a few seconds there. This thing accelerates faster than the Ferrari Testarossa.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to spend a lot of time sitting in a spot.
You've been working on this project for 30 years?
Actually, a bit more than that if you consider some of the early models, but I flew my first full-size vehicle in 1965, so that's more than 35.
Well, then it must have been this big dream for you, too. I mean, how did it begin for you?
Well, I've always been, you know, extremely excited about the I grew up on the side of a mountain on a chicken farm in Canada, and I was pretty isolated. And so, you know, the idea of having the degree of freedom that a hummingbird, and there were a lot of hummingbirds around, so I saw this early in my life, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old.
Right.
And that was just, you know, it was obviously something you couldn't help but envy. I'm not certain that was really what inspired me as much as it symbolized my own desire. But in any case, it was the perfect symbol of what I would like to be able to do, and you know, pretty much been on that path ever since. I wasn't a particularly excited student as far as academics was concerned until I decided that I had to get some kind of education if I was going to do what I wanted to do.
How big is your company?
Well, Well, we've varied because we've produced products for the international market. We've been as big as 150 employees, but right now we're about 25 employees because we're in a pure R&D mode.
And on the car.
And on the car.
Primarily, I guess.
Well, a car and the engines. We have orders right now for over half a million of our engines for other applications because, you know, two-stroke engines are going to be banned. This engine that we have developed is a perfect alternative to the two-stroke, and many businesses out there would like to have this as an alternative.
I would do almost anything to be able to sign with you. This is since I've been a little child, this has been a dream of mine.
And as I know, we'll make sure you're invited to one of the first press flights.
Well, I mean, I would even love to see it fly, even if I couldn't be in. Just to see it fly would be.
There is, of course, a fair amount of video available of the two-passenger vehicle flying.
Love to see it.
But not of course, anything of the four-passenger, since it's not going to fly until sometime in late August. Probably.
That's not very far away.
That's not very far away. Right?
You must be getting very excited.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to that magic carpet feeling.
But, I mean, to see a dream come true like that, tested in the air, would be really something.
The thing that would be most rewarding to me personally would to see this in some production mode where people start to be able to have access to it. I mean, it's
of course.
Nice that I have it, but ultimately my dream is that this vehicle is available for the public. And
so ultimately, like a housewife could use it.
Anybody could use it. Theoretically, a five-year-old could use it and not get in trouble. I mean,
they
may not go where he wants to go, but he's going to be safe. And that's so critical. We kill over 40,000 people a year because there's, you know, half of those because of drunk drivers and the other half because of people that are drowsy or inexperienced or whatever.
Okay, well, you said you'd be in lanes that would be below the altitude traffic lanes of major aircraft heavies.
Correct.
Now, an obvious question is, how are you going to keep these things from running into each other? I know that big aircraft now have this new avoidance system that tells one to go high and one to go low if they're on a collision course or left or right or whatever. What would these do?
There should be nobody in conflict with you because on one level, say you take 5,000 feet of space out of the airway and you operate each level at about 200 feet apart.
Right.
On any one level, all the vehicles would be going at the same speed in the same direction. At a level 200 feet below that, everybody's going the same speed in the same direction, about 15 degrees different from the one above.
Like a highway.
Yeah, like a highway. And so you have layers. In effect, you have 24 layers, everybody going the same speed in the same direction on every layer. And if you picture yourself in that mode, you can see why it would be pretty benign. You'd look around you, and as far as you're concerned, everybody's going the same way you are in the same speed.
Uh-huh.
And that's a fairly easy environment to control, and it's a very safe environment to generate.
All right. Doctor, I just have a million questions, but I know my audience has a lot of questions. So if I can, when we come back, I'd like to open the lines and let them ask some. Would that be all right?
I'd welcome the opportunity.
All right. It's coming, folks. The first flight of the four-passenger Sky Car is coming in August. When it's eventually mass-produced, not very far down the line, it would cost about as much as a mid-cost, midline automobile. Only you can take off directly vertically, land vertically, and travel horizontally in excess of 350 miles an hour. Think about it.